Hello fellow Star Trek fans, welcome back to a brand new episode of 10 Forward, brought to you as part of the Clone Star podcast. I am your host Mike Overton, and this week's episode we are checking out episode 5 of season 5 of Star Trek Discovery. The episode is entitled Mirrors. Let's fly. As the crew regroups after the time bug incident that cost them 6 hours, they track their main adversaries in the quest for progenitor technology. Book uses this pause to reflect on his life choices and considers redeeming Mole, the daughter of his mentor, Cleveland Booker. Stamets and Tilly discover that the trail leads through a wormhole, but it's too narrow for Discovery to fit through, prompting the captain to undertake a shuttle mission, despite her new first officer's objections. After sharing some old Kalurian poetry, she reassures him of his leadership capabilities and departs with her former partner. Rekindling the old dynamic, Book and Michael navigate through the wormhole, flying deaf and blind through exotic matter, losing communications with Discovery, and manoeuvring through thick debris. Their apt piloting and Starfleet engineering see them through, but they find Mole and Locke in dire straits. Their ship is, well, it's dissected. Let's try that again. Okay. Their adept piloting and Starfleet engineering sees them through, but they find Mole and Locke in dire straits as their ship is destroyed. A nearby intact ship offers a glimmer of hope. The ship is from the Mirror Universe, the ISS Enterprise, indicating a shift towards Terran adventures. Upon docking, Book and Michael traverse the chaotic ship to the bridge, indulging in some light-hearted banter. They discover that the warp drive is offline and that the escape routes are blocked. All the escape pods have been ejected, which is kind of uncharacteristic for those ruthless Terrans. They follow the life signs to sickbay, but start in the transporter room, which resembles a kind of refugee camp. Documents reveal that the crew revolted after the Terran High Chancellor Mira Spock was assassinated for initiating reforms. Led by a Kelpian rebel, they fled to the Prime Universe. As Book elaborates, Michael places part of her badge in a locket she finds, key for later developments. In sickbay, they encounter multiple illusions of Mole and Locke, finally confronting the real ones by disabling the holo emitters. Mole dismisses Book's attempts to connect via her father, and tensions escalate as the antagonists find they've seized the upper hand. However, Michael clearly uses the locket as a bluff, through negotiations falter over the need for the progenitor's technology to eliminate a Breen bounty on Locke. Flashbacks reveal Mole's dealings with the Breen, turning the tables during a confrontation, hinting at a deeper connection with Locke, who reveals his hidden aspects of his identity. Their budding relationship faces threats from family disapproval and looming dangers, leading to Locke choosing Mole over duty, marking them as fugitives. Back aboard the ISS Enterprise, a confrontation quickly turns into a firefight, with Michael and Book narrowly avoiding a worsening situation. They make a retreat as Mole and Locke manage a temporary truce, driven by the necessity for more reconciliation. As Michael and Book face challenges on the bridge, the crew back on Discovery work feverishly to widen the wormhole using a creative solution involving photon torpedoes spurred by the premise of some Kerulean spirits. In a desperate move, Michael shares a poignant memory with Book from the time anomaly, enhancing their bond. The episode concludes with the ISS Enterprise barely escaping a collapsing wormhole, setting upon future dilemmas. Throughout subplots, such as Dr. Culber's spiritual struggles and Adira regaining their scientific confidence, add depth, leaving the crew and viewers anticipating the next developments on their thrilling journey. Things I liked in this episode, I liked to see Michael and Book together again. Those two make a really good pair. It's also interesting how Mole and Locke's relationship is kind of mirroring Michael and Books a little bit, which I also kind of like. They can relate to each other. I thought the introduction of the Breen subplot in this episode was really good. As a DS9 fan, you know, anything more to do with the Breen, as we very rarely see them, we briefly see them. So, yeah, all good parts, I think. My standout moment from this episode, I think, is going to be Rayna. You can really see this week how he has grown and progressed from the first half of this season. The first half of this season, he's very blunt, to the point where this week he's kind of opening up a little bit. You can see he's gelling more with the crew. I did find it interesting that he refused to sit in the captain's chair, and he does make that comment that the captain's chair is only for the captain. So yeah, I'm really intrigued to see what his character development is going to be like through this season, through the rest of the season, I should say, because, you know, I'm kind of gutted that we're not going to see him after the end. But yeah, I think he's a great character. He's really complex, and I don't know, I'm really beginning to like him. This week's episode was kind of burdened a little bit with a lot of Star Trek lore. If you're not that, you know, if you're not that into DS9, the Breen to you doesn't really mean an awful lot. I know people that don't like DS9 and haven't watched DS9, so I feel that if they're going to watch this week's episode, it's going to be, I don't know, a bit confusing for them, and that it's going to require a couple of rewatches, I think. I just feel that they try to squeeze so much into the flashbacks that it's almost, you know, they could have almost done an entire episode on it, but instead they crammed it into 15 minutes worth of flashbacks. And I just think that there was so much missed that, you know, people will have to watch this 2, 3, 4 times to catch everything. I think that's a shame. I think that kind of lets the episode down a bit, the fact that, you know, they've just crammed the kitchen sink in. But yeah, that's the only negative part I've got to this episode, I think. So to recap this episode, the mid-season episode is kind of a mixed bag, highlighted by strong performances that breathe life into both heroes and villains. It offers meaningful character development, however, attempts to deepen the franchise lore are kind of bogged down by overly complex expositions. Despite a strong theme centered on choices, some directional decisions fell a bit flat, potentially leaving viewers confused or needing to rewatch to grasp the storyline. Nonetheless, the episode continues to explore Discovery's lore and character evolution effectively. David Ajala shines as Book, grappling with his emotional choices and those around him striving to establish new familial bonds. Eve Harlow and Elias Tufey elevate their roles as Mole and Locke, adding depth to both characters, which enriches the plot. Their complex relationship kind of mirrors Michael and Books, and then the rekindling between them is adding layers to the episode's title mirrors. The subplot involving Rayna, highlighted by his interaction with Cerulean lore, adds colour to his character, though Doug Jones' absence is definitely felt. Culber's spiritual exploration also receives sufficient attention, integrating well with other subplots, without kind of overshadowing them. The revelation that Locke is Breen brings a fresh twist that deepens the mystery around this very elusive race, much to the delight of DS9 fans, such as myself. The episode delves into the Breen, revealing new aspects of their society and culture, a bit sometimes at the cost of clarity due to the sense of exposition. This setup positions the Breen as the key antagonist for the season, though it occasionally feels a bit, I don't know, information overload. Utilizing strange new world sets, the episode smartly incorporates the ISS Enterprise, merging past mirror narratives from Star Trek's rich history, yet The visual redressing of the Enterprise lacks imagination, missing opportunities to showcase the Emperor's harshness. The absence of character crossovers from the Mirror version also feels a bit missed. Overall, Mirrors stands as a decent entry into Discovery's lineup, teeming with lore and backstory that might benefit from multiple viewings. As Season 5 reaches its midpoint, it remains promising, weaving the show's history into an unfolding narrative, the setting the stage for what could be the most compelling conclusion of a season. Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of 10 Forward. Remember, you can catch up with more Clone Star Podcast every Wednesday with The War Room, where myself and my wonderful co-host Sho Hurley interview Star Trek alumni from all seasons. We've got some incredible interviews lined up, and I can't wait for you to see them. Alternatively, check out our website, clonestarpod.com, for more blogs and fan art written by you, our fans. Until next time, live long and prosper.